pray for the Newcomb family.
Elliot, Danny, the Newcomb son, passed away. And Connor and I will be leaving in the afternoon tomorrow. We'll have to go if that's all right with you, brother. We'll take off then and pray for that family. Pray for them. I do want to remember them. I was talking to my buddy, and he told me, Boudreaux said this. He said, you know what I do when I get blue? I said, I don't know. You know, you drink a Dr. Pepper? What you do? He said, I start breathing again. For a while, he started eating that natural food, man. He wouldn't eat nothing except it was that, what's that kind of cereal, like Koji or whatever that stuff is, you know? Kobe, I don't know what it is, but man, he's eating all that stuff, bran muffins and all that stuff. I said, hey, Boudreaux, you still eating all that natural food? He said, man, I quit that. I said, what's the reason for that? He said, I read in that newspaper most people die from natural causes. So I don't want to eat no natural food no more. I want to stay away from that. Get a message from him. Brother Orville, you know, let me use his computer there. All right. And Boudreaux sent me an email. And he told me, he said, look, Monday I had to go to that traffic court one more time. He said, I went to that traffic court and sat there all day, and the judge says, adjourned. Had to take a day off of work. Going to have to come back the next day. And Boudreaux said, adjourned. That's what the judge said. The judge says, adjourned. Boudreaux said, what for? Judge said, contempt of court, $20. Boudreaux got his wallet out. He's looking up in there, The judge says, hey, son, you don't have to pay that right now. He said, no, I was looking to see if I had enough money for two more words. Oh, but take your Bibles this morning. Turn with us to the book of the Revelation. The Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. And beginning at verse number 1, the Antichrist and the worldwide economic collapse. Revelation chapter 18 and verse number 1, after these things. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Find in chapter 16, verse 10, that the earth had been darkened. And now the angel comes and lightens up the earth. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. But she is, as verse 2 tells us, fallen. So this speaks of an economic collapse. An economic collapse. The greatest worldwide economic collapse is yet to come. And it has not hit yet, but it is coming. And it will hit. There have been several economic downturns. There have been major crashes. On September 24th, 1869, Black Friday, the great American financial panic occurred because of the manipulation of securities by Fisk and Gould. I noticed your gasoline here has become more precious since I got here. It has gone up 10 cents. And I think what's happened is somebody's manipulating the market. And that's what caused the 18 69 collapse. And then the great American financial panic of October 24th, 1929, Black Thursday, when the Great Depression began with the crash of the stock market. 1 week before the crash, 1 week before the crash, Yale professor Irving Fisher said stock prices have reached what looks like a permanently high plateau. But he was wrong. It fell. And then there was the financial crash of Monday, October the 19th, 1987. And I remember that one. It was known as Black Monday. On that day, stocks around the world crashed, beginning at Hong Kong, and went all the way around. And then, on October the 29th, 2008, CNN, Money.com had this report: stocks skidded Monday with the Dow slumping 778 points in the biggest single day point loss ever. The day's loss knocked approximately $1.2 trillion in market value from the market, the first post $1 trillion day ever. And we've not recovered from that October 29, 2008 report. But the greatest financial disaster yet to come, the one that will wipe out all of the banks, the one that will be the greatest of all great depressions, is on its way. It is the crash from which there will be no return. All worldwide wealth will be worthless. And the stock markets will close forever. Some of you have heard G. Gordon Liddy on the radio saying, buy gold, it never goes down, it's going down. Mark my word, it will go down. And more than that, mark the word of Scripture. The word of Scripture. The crash of Revelation 18 will come suddenly and will be final. We'll find that in verse 8, 10, 17, 19, because God Himself will bring about the destruction of commercial Babylon. In verses 1 through 3, we find the fall of commercial Babylon announced. Here is the announcement of the fall. After these things, points back to chapter 17, the fall of the ecumenical religious movement, the fall of the Catholic Church, the fall of false religion. And then John says, I saw. And the idea here in the Greek is that he had a panoramic view. He got the wide picture. I like panoramas. I like to go to the panoramic view and see those things. The angel in this verse will announce the destruction of commercial Babylon and the anti-God system of Antichrist. The power of this angel comes from God, and that's why he's able to illuminate the earth. In verse number 2, we notice what the Scripture says here, and he cried mightily with a strong voice. All will see and all will hear this angel. None will be able to ignore him like some ignore your voice today. They will not ignore the voice of the angel. And he's going to cry, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. This was predicted in Revelation 14 and verse 8, and it becomes reality to both religious and commercial Babylon. Is fallen is in the aorist tense, meaning that in a point of time when the commercial system is at its peak, destruction will fall. So it will rise, but at its peak it's going to crash to never come back. Never come back. Out of ancient religious Babylon came Nebuchadnezzar and the First World Empire. The commercial system of the tribulation is a revival of ancient political Babylon and its commercialism. Commercial Babylon is the habitation of Satan. The devils spoken of here are demons. What form they will take, I do not know. And whether or not they actually possess, and I do know they do possess people, and they will work through them, I cannot say. But it is possible and probable that ancient Babylon will be the site of commercial Babylon. There was a time when I had a hard time with that, saying how can they build that up very quickly. But I see buildings go up in, massive buildings in a short time. So they could do that. It could happen. Saddam Hussein did a lot of work to rebuild ancient Babylon. He had bricks with his name on them put there. And there's a city in Iraq called Al-Hilla. And Al-Hilla has grown within a few miles of Babylon. And increasingly, Al-Hilla is growing. And interestingly, Hilla is the capital of the region called Babel. And it is located near the city of Kish. Near the city of Kish. Al-Hilla has a population of 364,700 people. It's located on the Euphrates River. And one writer has written that people now live in the village of Babylon, referring to Al-Hilla. So it's growing there. Now, the first cause given for Babylon's destruction is that she has become the dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit. I think we look at this and see corruption. Corruption morally, corruption financially, that will lead to God's judgment upon commercial Babylon. And I believe what we see in our cities today says the end is near. We notice since we've come up here, stimulus money given to the banks is at work in Missouri. Say, how'd you see that? They're building new banks. I mean, a lot of new bank buildings. They're not loaning it out much, but they're building them a new building. I've seen several brand new ones since they got here. They're using your money. Verse number 3, Revelation 18. And all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. What do we see here? What is the picture here? The nations of the world will commit themselves to this financial system. They will be wheeling and dealing with commercial Babylon. And even in our day, we see to what extent people will go for the almighty dollar. What they will do for a dollar. One of our dearest friends, I love her to death, I couldn't go to this meeting. She invited some folks over for a Christmas dinner, so-called. Got over there. My wife did go and thought, well, this is really nice. I'm going to invite her over for a holiday meal. Got over there and had this financial guru, and it was a pyramid. Because you know what? Everybody's wanting a piece of the pie. And my wife said, we don't do that kind of thing. We both, and she knew better than I did, there was a pastor when she was growing up who got to selling stuff, Amway. And every time he'd go to knock on the door, people said, here's Amway, man. You know, and it really hurt that ministry. So we've just decided we wouldn't do that kind of thing. If you do, that's fine. No, don't tell what you want. I better watch that. Now, verses 4 and 5, as we quickly move on, in verses 4 and 5, we have the call to God's people to be separated. Don't sell what you want. Now, verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. So this is spoken to God's people. Preacher, do you believe there will be people saved during the tribulation? Yes, I do. They're going to be brought in, every kindred, tongue, and nation. Folks will be saved. There'll be four angels sent out just for that. There'll be 144,000 Jews doing the preaching. So I believe this, and you're going to have two witnesses. If nobody's going to be saved during the tribulation, why have witnesses? Folks will be saved. It's going to happen. That ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. Although it's written to tribulation saints, I believe you and I can learn from this. Come out from among them, or come out is always God's word and command to His people. God always orders His people out of corrupt influence. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Other words are given to us in this same realm. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Come out from among them. Flee fornication. Do right, do right, do right until the stars fall. Then do right. Guard yourselves. Guard yourselves against becoming infatuated with the world and the things of the world. Now verse number 5, in the Revelation chapter 18 and verse number 5, the scripture says, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. He has not ever forgotten them. So we find here that God is aware of all things that go on the earth. You don't get away with a thing, you know that? God is aware of all that we do. He's aware of all that we say. And be sure your sins will find you out. God keeps records. He hath remembered her iniquity. He keeps a record. There were things I thought I got away with, but I didn't. I didn't. And you know who catches you and knows when you're wrong? Of course God does, but your mama. I mean, mamas have this special sense about them. You can walk in the house, young person, and mama says, what have you been doing? I ain't been doing nothing. And then you get the fifth degree. Amen? Do right. Do right. Verses 6 through 8. There's a charge that's leveled against Babylon. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled full to her double. Heaven calls on God to reward Babylon even as Babylon has rewarded God's people. And I believe that goes into the old Roman Empire, and I think it goes back to the blood of the saints, of the trail of blood, and all of those things. Reward here means to give back that which is due or to pay a debt. So give it to them. The normal law of retribution, an eye for an eye, is to be doubled. Double it. Double it. There will be no mercy for Babylon's filthiness. Her cup will be filled twice, and it will be overflowing. The wrath of God is coming. Verse number 7. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. Give her double. She's lived deliciously. She's glorified herself. Give her torment and sorrow. For she hath said in her heart, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. You know, there are those who never think they're going to get caught like Bernie Madoff. I flew with a bunch of Jews, Israelis, right after Madoff went down. See, he was riding high on that pyramid. But then the crash came and he crashed and he's in trouble. He'll never get out. I hope he never does. He won't. But I was riding with those Jewish people, flying with them. And every one of them, I'd say, what do you think about Madoff? They said, we don't want to talk about it. You know why? He mainly took money from his own people. And for a Jew to do that to another Jew is unthinkable. To do it to a Gentile, it's not bad. But to do it to another Jew, they just wouldn't talk about it. They just thought it was the worst thing in the world. And it's a terrible thing. Living deliciously. Then it says, am no widow. She's got plenty of boyfriends, the kings of the earth. She's no widow. She's got boyfriends everywhere. Over in Dubai, they built this big old thing over there. Now, the celebration to open the thing cost $20 million. Just to open it. That money was just thrown away, just like Pelosi did flying over to Copenhagen. Or Copenhagen. I don't want to say Copenhagen. That's the kind of stuff you put in your back pocket. But anyway, they live deliciously. They blow the money. They're no widow. Babylon has it. She thinks she is something. Look at verse number 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. But she's no match for God. Death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Her judgment is described as death and mourning and famine. Destruction will be swift. It will be complete. You sow the wind, what do you reap? Whirlwind. And that's exactly what's going to happen. This whole world is sowing the wind. While we're sitting here, these folks are all worried about how much they can get. Christian, you and I should get to give. Get to give. Get to give. One of the greatest thrills of my life is to write my tithe. I love that. To write my tithe. You know, there was a fellow saved up in Maryland, and he told his pastor, he said, look, I'm a brand new Christian. I've been reading that book of Psalms. And right before that, the book of Job. And he said, somebody told me that I'm supposed to tithe. So explain the tithe. So we take two offerings in my Sunday school class that I teach, and I always tell them, now the plate is for the tithe, and the box is for the radio. And so we keep the radio going, and and we get the tithe to keep everything else going. That goes to the Lord. Amen? Now, we notice in verse number 9, the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. They're going to hate it because there goes all their gains. There goes Scottrade. I mean, it's all gone. There goes Citibank. I mean, it's going to be gone. They're going to lament this. Here's the lamentation of the kings of the earth. The city of Babylon and its burning is symbolic of the fall of the political and economic empire and of their might. The kings of the earth will weep and beat their breast and jump out of windows and all of those things. In ancient Rome, there was on one of Caesar's coins his face where they worshiped him. And there was one Caesar and a number of kings over the provinces. And there will be one Antichrist and then these others will be puppets under him. And that's what verse 9 is talking about. Verse number 10, standing afar off, they don't want to be close. They're standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come." Now, the tribulation is going to be 7 years. And I believe the first 3.5 years will be tribulation, and then great tribulation comes according to the Scriptures. And, I mean, they're going to ride high for a while, but when that second half starts, friends, bang! There's great torment. And they're going to cry out, "Alas, alas." Just like in James chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your mercies and miseries. Your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten." I mean, that's going to come into focus. Going to happen. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm leaving here. Verse 11. Down through verse 19, we have the lamentation of the merchants of earth. In verse 11, "And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her." I don't know if y'all have any banks around here called Merchants and Farmers or something like that. Got any merchants' banks or something? So yeah, but we've got them at home. Well, it's a merchants' bank, and the merchants look to it, and all of those kind of things. "Well, the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her because they're in trouble. For no man buyeth their merchandise anymore." You know what? You can't buy anything American because there's nothing made in America. I wish we had brown shoe companies again. I wish we had Fruit of the Loom companies anymore. I mean, you can't. It's hard to buy anything. Amen? I'd like to put on an American-made T-shirt. I would. If you know where to get them, let me know. There's one suit company left in the United States of America. There's one suit company. It's the Sewell Suit Company. They still make suits. Now, I'm not talking about tailors. I'm talking about that makes suits. The Sewell Company. Some in Canada, but just one major company that makes suits. Isn't that sad? When I went to school in Mayfield, Kentucky, they had a big suit factory there, and the boys from the school, boys like myself, would buy the suits from there and get a discount. For years they had an outlet there, even when they moved overseas. But now all that's gone. Why? Because we've moved it. Why? So the heads of those companies would have lots of money. And the people here suffer. You see, that's the whole thing. And that's part of this whole collapse. That's part of all of this that is going on here. Business is gone now, though. When we get down to verse 11, it has left. here. Now, verse number 12, and I want you to notice with me these categories. There are 28 different articles of merchandise that are affected here. And it pretty well covers everything. These lose their value. And J. Gordon Liddy can say what he wants, but the gold's going to be worthless because there won't be anything to trade for. You notice with me what the Bible says in verse 12. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, of pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, fine wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory, and all manner of vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and of iron, and marble. What are we talking about here? The gold, silver, precious stones, pearls talk about, I believe, investment portfolios. I mean, they've got their portfolio. And then the fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet speak of fashionable dress. Fashionable dress. Some of those celebrities wear dresses that cost $20,000 and $30,000. There's no piece of cloth worth that. Amen. You don't have to pay that for a dress. Just give it to me. I'll buy me a car. And the fine wood, the vessels of ivory, the vessels of precious wood, brass, iron, and marble, I believe speak of high-class furniture and furnishings and all of these kind of things. That's going to be gone. Verse number 13. Some of these I really like, and so I'm glad I'm gone. And cinnamon. I like to have my hot chai, and I like to sprinkle a little bit of cinnamon on top. Anybody else like a little cinnamon with theirs? There you go. Good, good, Meyer. That's good. You're my friend. And I like that stuff. And cinnamon's going to, I mean, look, it won't be, you can't trade. That's what this is talking about. You can't trade in these things. And odors and ointments. There won't be any, no, well, that's not good English. There will not be any perfume any longer. And ointments, there'll be no more Boudreaux's paste. No more ointments. And frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. Man, listen, the cinnamon, odors, ointments, and frankincense, those are in the biblical sense here, speaking of the sensuous things. The wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, beasts, sheep, horses, etc. are for the satisfying of the flesh. I mean, folks enjoy those things, and also food. The chariots are for the getaway, and they can't go. There's no place to hide, no place to run. What does somebody say? You can run, but you can't hide. Well, they won't be able to hide because they're going to be, yeah, it's going to happen. Slaves for labor to increase wealth. Won't be any reason to increase wealth. There'll be no way. Well, souls of men speak of selling. You ever heard of a fishmonger? Any of y'all ever heard of a fishmonger? All right. Cecil, Mary, y'all know what a fishmonger is. A fishmonger sells fish. That's his job. Y'all don't watch Emerald? You've never seen Emerald? Any of y'all watch Emerald? All right. He talks about going to the fishmonger sometime and getting his fish. Okay? A whoremonger is a man who sells flesh. Talks of prostitution. It talks of the souls of men. It talks about lust. You see. So all is lost. All the treasures are gone. That's why you and I need to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Amen? Now, verse number 14. Verse 14. For the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. That's what all that's talking about. This is the things people want. They lust after these things. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. People who live for these things, they're going to be in a fix because everybody's going to be brought down. There'll be no high and mighty. They're going to be driven crazy. The lust hounds will. And then verses 15 and 16 speak of the commercial world as it falls apart. Complete market failure. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for her, for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. They're crying. Their buildings will be empty, for sale, for lease. I mean, it's going to be gone, friends. And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, it's finished. Those things will be worthless. My youngest daughter, Bethany, I have three daughters, two sons. I love them. When she graduated from surgical tech school, she said, all I want are pearl earrings. That's all I want, some pearl earrings. Now, when she's graduated twice and back in school again, I told her, I said, this is it. I told her that the first two times. But I mean it this time. This is it. But one of our ladies runs a jewelry store, and I was able, I'm always looking for a deal. I'm a dealer. And she loves those pearl earrings, but you know what? One of these days they'll be worthless. But she knows the Lord, so she'll be gone. And somebody say, look what I've got. And then they'll find out in the midst of the tribulation that these things are of no account. You know what no account means? Worthless! That's what it means. Verse number 17. For in one hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company ships and sailors and all and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. And the cry and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping, wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in one hour is she made desolate. Friends, if you've ever been to San Francisco and you go out in the harbor, usually you'll pass a big container ship. And I'm talking about those things are gigantic. And down in Gulfport, Jerry, have those big container ships. But they only carry monkey food. They're full of bananas. It's a big banana port in Gulfport. And they have all those. But the container ships coming into San Francisco, it'll boggle your mind. We were in a little fishing boat. I'm cheap. So I didn't want to rent. Bill Brown and his wife, and Denise and I, and Bethany went in. We didn't want to get on that sightseeing boat because that thing was high. So we walked along, and there's a fisherman. Y'all do that too? Cheap. And that's good. You took the sightseeing boat? But we ran that fishing boat. Amen? A lot cheaper. Man, we went by that big thing. We looked like a little bitty pea upside this gigantic ship. But all that's going to stop. They're going to have to weigh anchor. But then one day they're going to have to drop anchor, and that's the end of it. Amen? That's what this is talking about. The Maersk Alabama won't have to worry about pirates because there won't be anything to pirate. It'll be worthless. Verse number 20, and we're coming on here. Verse number 20, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Yea, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but God's going to avenge that persecution. He's going to do it on this world system. Amen? I wish we had time, we're not going to do it, to go back and see how a third part of the sea and a third part of the earth. And you see, all this is going to be bombarded by the wrath of God until it's just wiped out. I mean, it's worthless. It'll be no good. Verse 21, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. In other words, that's prophetic. This mighty angel taking that stone and throwing it into the sea. Christ, the Rock of Ages, is going to destroy the kingdoms of this world. And Babylon will never rise again. It's not going to happen. Ancient Babylon has been destroyed and has risen. But the Babylon of Revelation 18 will be destroyed, never to rise again. That's another reason I believe it will be rebuilt in Iraq. Verse 22. And the voice of the harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. The factories will stop. Nobody's going to be hearing music. Nobody's going to be going to the boats. Y'all know what I'm talking about here in St. Louis, don't you? We won't be going down to the boats. All that's over. There's no more pleasure. It's over. The crafts work. I mean, there won't be anything being built. It's going to be destroyed, not built. And then in verse 23, there's going to be an energy crisis. Y'all pray against this cap and trade business. Man, look, nuclear power, clean coal. We've got enough natural gas in Arkansas to power this country. There's so much oil shale in Arkansas. Our boy TJ works with a oil and gas exploration company. And they're hoping to drill 1,000 wells this year in Arkansas. Don't tell the president. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. The voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And I believe we've been deceived. I believe our Congress has been deceived. I believe they're saying this is what we got to do and moving this around. And we're being sucked in to destruction. There ought to be a law that says things coming in this country have to have a high tariff on as to where we can make it as cheap here as they can make it. You might pay a little more, but it'll be worth it. Amen? It'll be worth it. Then the last verse. Of course, this verse 23 says there won't be anybody wanting to get married. There won't be any romance. Music stops. There won't be any voice of the bride, bridegroom, all that stuff. Forget it. People will be in torments. Verse 24, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Go back again to that trail of blood. The systems that were responsible for the martyrdom of millions will be destroyed. That goes back to religious Babylon and commercial Babylon. They will be destroyed. It's going to happen. And with the destruction of the world's religious and economic systems, the way is paved for the second coming of Jesus Christ. They'll muster an army, but friends, they'll be defeated. Are you ready? You say, this discourages you? No. I see it happening all around me. I want to see some more folks saved. I do. But I see the Bible fulfilled around me. Used to, the old preacher said, don't preach the Revelation, we can't understand it. Well, you can now, can't you? You can see it. You can see it. God bless you.